Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Rest in peace, Bill Withers. 81 years old. I mean, just a musical icon. So many songs. Lovely Day, Lean on Me, Ain't No Sunshine, and so many of the remixes. You know, like if you think about it, so many songs of his that were sampled by modern artists, it's just going to be sorely missed. By the way, he did not pass away, at least not to the reports, right? It was not coronavirus implicated. It was heart complications at 81 years old. So a devastating loss, you know, for the world and the music community and everyone beyond. Sedano with you here, and we need this song for sure now. With you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So we'll have Stu Gatz join us in a little bit. We're still trying to effort to find Mel Kiper Jr. If you have any thoughts on this Justin Turner thing, 877-710 ESPN, where Justin Turner doesn't want to play extra innings. He's like, let's go home run derby. Let's do it. I mean, look, I've heard way worse ideas. I actually like it. And look, I love baseball. Baseball was my first love. I know people now think of me as an NBA person, but I grew up in a Hispanic household, a Cuban family, where baseball and boxing were the two biggest sports in my house. So, Laura, what was that?
I said I completely agree.
Oh, right. Yeah. Of course. I mean, that was just it. And, you know, my dad was super into the NFL very early on. You know what I mean? So I watched a lot of NFL too. But though there was no convincing him otherwise that baseball and boxing weren't his one and two as far as love of sports were concerned. So that, you know, as much as the NFL was on and then the NBA became a thing in the 80s for us, the order was definitely baseball and boxing in my household. So, but yeah, I just think it's fine. Like, just spice it up, do something different, you know, and yeah, is it gimmicky? But you know what? Baseball purists are always going to be upset about something. They were upset when they had the wild card. They were upset when they added another wild card. And you know what? All that stuff has actually helped the game.
Well, the two wild card thing is a little bit odd for me. I don't know how I feel about it just yet.
But it's a one game scenario, which is awesome.
Right, which is cool. I mean, it just adds in another team. Like, we see the wild card team win the World Series, you know, decently often. Where last year, the Washington Nationals were the wild card, and they just won the entire thing. So you can get there. I don't know. If you get to be the wild card team, you're usually the hottest team. I don't know about the two teams, but I'm okay with the. I'm a baseball purist. I'm one of those guys that don't like. I hate the idea of a runner on second base. That to me is just absolute garbage. It's just a terrible idea. Don't want anything to do with it. The home run derby, I can deal with.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Garbage is strong. That's a strong take.
It's garbage. Oh no, it's garbage. It's absolute garbage. You don't just put somebody on second base. Like, they don't get. How do you score that? Does that guy become? Does he get a double now randomly?
I mean,
like,
but like, I mean, you'd rather have a home run derby? I mean, good Lord.
You know, well, that's fine. I'm okay with the home run derby and just not counting it towards your home run total. But, like, if you put a guy at second base and then he ends up, you know, scoring a run, does that count? No.
Yes.
No, it messes with the stats. No. He didn't do anything to get on base.
So the home run derby shouldn't count either?
No, it doesn't account towards your home
run.
No,
I'm saying, but, like, how about you get one? Like, you get one extra home run if you win the home run derby.
No, you don't get an extra home run for the home run derby. It's just you get a win in the win column. That's what you get.
All right. You're listening to KSPN Los Angeles. Dan in Montebello. What's up, Dan?
Yeah, gentlemen, thank you for your time. I thought maybe getting like soccer, you get three guys per team. You get the bullpen coaches out there with the cage. They each get three swings per guy. And the first guy beats the first guy out of the three tosses, you get a point. And after the three guys, winner of the most home runs gets the victory for the team.
right. Say that last part again. Give me the last couple sentences. You lost me there.
Okay. You would get, again, three.
You designate three guys. I got that part.
Right. Kind of like kicking the extra.
Right. You get the penalty kicks. Right.
Right. So you can at least get three or five guys. And then you designated one versus one. They get three pitches. If a guy gets two home runs, one gets one, boom. That team gets a point. You get to the second guy, do the same thing. Now, if they both tie, it's a zero. You go to number three. They get a point. We're 1-1. You go to number four, 2-1. That one, that fifth.
Man, this got real complicated. Dan, I love you, buddy. But that seems way too complex for me.
All right. Just thought I'd throw that at you guys.
All right, brother. Stay safe, all right, and healthy.
You too. God bless you all.
All right, man. You too.
At least I got lost.
He was nice. I did too. I was lost a couple of into it. Yeah, Laura.
So for me, I love sports, right? And baseball, like, don't touch baseball. If you're in the stadium, I get it. The longer, the better for me. I'm drinking. I'm having fun with my friends. If you're home, it kind of sucks. But
hold on. They cut the booze off in the seventh inning, don't they?
Yep.
I mean, let's not get there because, you know, I'm not trying to get in trouble there. But okay. My thing is, this guy just confused me. I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot.
Happened? No, it's
yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, we were in the Matrix there. It was a little too much. Dan, thank you, brother. God bless you, though. We love you. Quincy in L.A. Quincy, were you in the Matrix there, too, listening to that?
Yeah, I was listening. It was kind of confusing. I got to think I got a better one.
All right, let's go, Quincy. Give it to me.
In youth baseball, all the time, they don't want extra innings because of kids being able to play. So we have the California rule that states that a runner begins on second with no outs to speed up the play. That runner doesn't affect the ERA of the pitcher and is treated as a reach base on an error. This is for, like, you know, to keep the pace up. So with kids, you don't want them playing, you know, 5 and 6 hours. So we start with a runner on second, and rarely does it go past an inning, because when you got hitters coming up, something happens, ball in play, the pitcher has maybe walks a runner, so it usually doesn't go past one inning. Then you still have the play, you still have all the baseball peers, you still get to see some baseball, and it's not a gimmick. And it won't last that long. It typically doesn't last that long in youth. So go with the California rule.
Thank you, Quincy. Look, Greg, it's the California rule.
Yeah, no, not in Major League Baseball. You can do that all you want in Little League. You can do that all you want in Single A. Don't even put it in Double A or Triple A either. No.
Bergman,
no.
This is a sport where the manager is a grown-ass man who wears a pajama, okay? Come on.
he wears a pajama. No, absolutely not. There are so many things that I will be okay with when it comes. I'm starting to get my head around the three batter minimum rule for these pitchers. Fine. I guess you're going to think it's going to speed up the game. But no, if you're going to do overtime, you're not just throwing somebody on a random base. Sorry. There's other ways to do this.
All right. Fair enough. 877. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Laura. Oh, who do we got? Go ahead, sir, in Anaheim.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, buddy.
You're doing all right. Hey, I'm listening to you guys' theories about this extending the innings, and I got some suggestion. I think it has to be a culmination of a few rules and changes. Maybe one of them could be like, hey, you know what, if it's the home team is pitching and the pitcher gets three strikes in a row on the three batters, hey, game over, the home team wins. Something kind of like that can get the excitement of getting, like, kind of like in hockey when they do like the hat trick or something like that. Maybe implementing just not one, but a couple of different things that can get that, you know, that gameplay going a little bit better, a little bit faster.
All right, buddy. Thank you for the call. I don't know if I'm feeling that one. I get what you're saying about the speed of it, but I don't know if I'm feeling that, because that's not – people want offense. You know what I mean? And I don't feel like that dictates offense.
So he wants like an immaculate inning, ends the game kind of deal?
Right. Yeah, that's tough. Let's go to Wayne in West Covina. Wayne.
Yes, everybody. Okay. I'm one who would say keep baseball the way it is. But if we have to put this in, I would suggest one thing. If it goes past the 10th inning and you go into the 11th inning, then there's an understanding between the infielders and outfielders where the next ball that's hit goes past them and the runner gets on second base due to a non-hustle play instead of putting the guy on second base before the inning begins. Then you can legitimately, hopefully, score a run.
So wait a second. You're saying the guy should just let the ball go?
Yes. In other words, on contact, just let the ball go past so the runner gets on second base. That's better than being put on second base automatically.
Yeah, Wayne, I would disagree, but I thank you for the call, and I appreciate it. You stay safe and healthy. I would prefer the California rule, as the gentleman earlier, Dan, called and said. I would also prefer the home run derby over that. The magic at bats, who got this thing, who's going to join us at 11:15. Real quick, before I get back to the calls, did you see this story where it looks like the cheating Astros might get off easy, Bergman?
Oh, yes, I did see that, and it's very disappointing.
It is disappointing because, and we have the audio. So Jeff Passan said that basically if the season gets canceled, that A.J. Hinch could be back, right? Like that was the gist of what he said?
Yeah, basically. Right. Same with Jeffrey Luhnow.
Okay, so let me hear Passan. I know we have that audio somewhere, Laura. Let me hear the Passan audio on A.J. Hinch's potential return to Major League Baseball because of a pandemic, basically.
He's a guy who, because of his big league career, you know, this was someone who was a backup catcher for a long time. You tend to have a good personality if you're a backup catcher and stick around. And A.J. Hinch, in his positions on the field and in front offices, got to know just about everybody. And pretty much everybody likes him, too. So the idea that he's going to go a while without landing a job, I just don't think is very realistic. He is someone who will be back in the game.
Now, I do agree with that. I do think he'll eventually be back in the game. He's got plausible deniability. He did that interview where he said he tried to wreck things. There's video of him trying, I guess, allegedly trying to wreck the video system. So I get that. Now, Buster Olney, Laura, we have that audio too, just basically says that if this season gets canceled, they will be back. They will technically have served their suspension even if we don't play. Let me hear the Buster Olney audio from Golic and Wingo.
The suspensions for Jeff Luhnow, the former general manager of the Astros, who was fired right after that decision came down, and for manager A.J. Hinch, they will end this fall. That the wording of their suspensions is that they were to serve them through the end of the 2020 postseason. It's not tied, their suspensions, to specific number of games, like we see with the domestic violence suspensions. So as of November 1st, assuming that or whenever the postseason for 2020 is resolved, that's when their suspensions end, and they will have served their time, and they can move back into baseball.
That is pretty wild when you think about it. But I guess the suspension under their bylaws, I mean, the way I understood it right there is that it's the calendar year. It's, you know, if the season doesn't happen, it's still the calendar year.
Yeah, look, what I'm worried about is that I think Dusty Baker, don't quote me, but I believe Dusty Baker signed a 1-year deal with the Astros.
Oh, so they would just not even Dusty would get paid. If,
right.
Maybe. Maybe he gets paid. We don't know.
Yeah. Who knows exactly what's going to happen there, but still he's done. He doesn't even have a contract with them.
Right.
And they're just like, let's bring back Hinch. Let's get the band back together, because it would be the most Astro thing possible to happen. They're screwing everything up. And I just can imagine them doing this exact thing and be like, let's do it again.
Yeah, it is very possible that ends up happening. Let me go back to the phones. Carl in Newberry Park has a idea for baseball. If you didn't hear, Justin Turner says that in the 10th inning, forget extra innings, go with a home run derby. Go ahead. What do you got, Carl?
Well, actually, I think that the better way to speed up in extra innings is to go to the softball rules, which is start with a 1-1 count. The first pitch becomes more important. You know, a lot more first pitch swinging, a lot more potential offense, speeds it up.
I like that. I'm okay with that. I would put that on the list. I appreciate it, Carl. Thank you. I would put that on the list for sure. Andrew is in Foothill Ranch. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, I was calling because we should do a tie after 11 innings. Two innings, that's it. Two innings of extra baseball, and we're good.
So just play it out like normal, but after the 11th inning, you're done, not the 12th like some people have suggested. Okay.
Yeah, two innings is perfect.
I'm good with that, too. Like, I would put that on the list of suggestions. Thank you, Andrew. I hope you stay safe and healthy, as well as Carl in Newberry Park, who called earlier. Last one real quick before we bring on Stu Gatz to pitch us his magic at-bat idea. Anthony from Alhambra is back. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, I mean, all the propositions I feel still have the opportunity to take too long. So why don't we just put the fastest runner on each team on either base, and they just hit a baseball, and whoever can get to home plate first, they do two out of three tries. So each team gets to put two different guys two different times. They hit the ball twice. Whoever gets home first twice, I mean, they can just add points that way and just win. That way you're done in, like, less than 5 minutes.
Well, this is a better idea than your first idea. I don't know how much I love this one, but it's clearly better than your first idea.
It's silly, but it's like, you know, we're all throwing silly stuff out there.
Anthony, love you, brother. I got to run. I'm up against it, okay?
Thanks.
See you, man. Take care. All right.
Let me give you one real fast.
Go ahead.
Twitter. Starfish and Coffee is saying that extra innings, diminishing fielders, 10th inning, 9 fielders, 11th inning, 8 fielders, 12th inning, 7 fielders, and down the line until someone wins.
Yeah, not terrible. I mean, he's usually really smart. He's probably one of our smartest listeners. I'd have to digest that one. Let me digest that one during the break real quick. So we'll have Stu Gatz sell us on his magic at bat idea, as opposed to, I mean, basically he's going to tell us Justin Turner stole his idea, which, look, to be honest, he might have. I mean, he's been talking about this for years. But anyway, we'll talk to him, and then Ben Lyons with our movie, segment conversation. Today is Eddie Murphy's birthday, so we're going to do Eddie Murphy movies with Ben Lyons. You can watch him on Netflix or wherever you find movies, you know, and on demand or whatever, and he's going to do his top 5 Eddie Murphy movies. I'll ask him about this Justin Turner thing too. Back in 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your home insurance there. Get a quote at progressive.com today. Don't forget, 710 ESPN wants to spotlight and give a shout-out to high school and college seniors for their achievements in academics and athletics. You can nominate a classmate, a friend, a family member, or even yourself. Here's how you can do it. Email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com and provide first and last name, city, school, and sport. Or you can post a short video of your classmate, yourself, your teammate, or your family member on Twitter or Instagram using the hashtag 710SeniorShoutout. Each one of those shows, of our shows here, we'll highlight one of those seniors each and every day next week. Be sure to listen for your senior here on 710 ESPN. Ben Lyons is going to join us next for our weekly movie segment. We're doing Eddie Murphy movies this week because it's Eddie Murphy's 59th birthday today. Stu Gatz is joining us now from the Levitard Show. It's the Dan Levitard Show with Stu Gatz. You can make sure to download and subscribe to his podcast called Stupidity. It's fantastic. It's fun. It's goofy. It's silly. It's him. He's joining us now because this Justin Turner thing of wanting to do a home run derby in the 10th inning sounds familiar. I don't know if he stole it from you, Stu Gatz, but it sounds like to me that he stole it from you.
Well, here's the key to stealing something from someone. Lord knows that I know. I mean, this is my wheelhouse, right? No one's better at this than me. He took my idea and he added a slight tweak so he could pass it off as his idea.
Yeah.
George, my original idea was there was no 10th inning. We go straight from the 9th inning to the home run derby, 5 swings apiece. Each team gets to pick one guy from their team, from their roster, to take those 5 swings. He had 3, I had 1. And the reason I said no 10th inning is because I want this thing done at the 9th inning. 1 batter, each team, 5 swings apiece. We're all home by 11:15. How about that?
Now, let me ask you this. Are you designating when the managers bring up his lineup card in, you know, before the game, is he also adding in there at the bottom, there's a new spot that says magic at bat? Because that's what you've called this. You want the magic at bat. Are you designating this player before the game? Is that part of the rule?
No, and apologies for the dog. I am sorry about that.
No, it's okay. We're in a pandemic, man. Everyone's dealing with stuff. Don't worry about it.
My dog has gotten more airtime than some of the producers on our show this week. It's been unbelievable. No, George, so these are two. So if you remember, we had Rob Manfred on. Actually, the first person we had on to pitch all these ideas to were Jim Leland. And he didn't like them because he's old school. So if Jim likes them, we figured everyone would like them. Jim didn't like most of them. He did like the home run derby. He did like the magic at bat. So these were two separate ideas. So because these games could go 16, 17 innings, and no one wants to sit around for that, and games should be ending at 2, 3 in the morning, that's how I came up with the home run derby to end the game. So just go straight. Don't go to the 10th inning. Just go straight to a home run derby. Now, the magic at bat is something a little bit different.
Oh, okay. Magic Sorry. At bat,
yeah, so you do designate someone before the game. Let's say it's the Angels, right? It would obviously be Mike Trout. And the thought behind the magic at bat is, let's say the Angels are playing the Dodgers. Dodgers are up 4-3 in the eighth. Trout comes up. He strikes out. And then we go to the ninth, okay? But Trout comes up, he's already done. He's done for the day unless the game goes to extras. Well, the manager, because he's designated him as his magic at bat, one time per game can go out of order, meaning Mike Trout could bat, strike out in the eighth, and still come up in the ninth, even though they're batting out of order. So essentially, he is filling the spot for your eighth hitter. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. So the home run derby and the magic at bat were two separate ideas. I like the magic at bat idea better, to be honest with you.
It's a good idea. And listen, Justin Turner, feel free to steal that as well. It's unbelievable. The magic at bat is, George, it's all with this in mind, okay? NBA, which is your wheelhouse, obviously. In the final, like, 3 to 4 minutes of a game, you are guaranteed that LeBron James, Michael Jordan, James Harden, the superstars are going to be making the big shots or the big pass. Certainly, they're going to have the ball in their hands to make the big decision. That doesn't happen in baseball because of the randomness of the sport, because there's a batting order. And so I'm saying one time a game, you want to see the biggest stars up in the biggest moments, and baseball doesn't give you that. It will give you the eighth hitter, the worst hitter up, in the biggest moment, as opposed to Mike Trout. And all I'm trying to do is give Major League Baseball an idea here where Mike Trout gets an additional opportunity in a big spot to help the Angels win. I think fans would like that. Like,
what did Manfred say? Offended. What did Manfred say?
Manfred hated all of them. I mean, he didn't like any of them.
He's like, what am I doing here? Who is this guy? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, but here's the thing, George. That I bet you liked it a lot more when he hears Justin Turner say it.
Oh, I bet you he does. You should bring him back on just to be like, oh, you like Justin Turner's idea, huh?
I'm going to. Although I think we've kind of burned our bridge.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah. He didn't love the whole Derek Jeter thing you guys did. Yeah, that was not he didn't love that interview.
Let's not make that what you guys did. Let's make that what Levitard did. Okay. Yeah. I mean, all I want to do is talk about Ponds in the outfield.
Yeah, but listen, Levitard takes all sorts of grief because of crap you end up saying that sticks to him. This one has to stick to all of you, too, even if it's him.
All right, that's fair. You're totally right, because I have been telling the story of Dan telling stories about Warren Sapp's breath smelling so bad. And so that has been attached to Dan. Dan never told me that story. I just made it up, and then I put it on Dan. And so you're right. He takes plenty for me, and so I have to take this one. That's on us. So, but we're not going to get Manfred on. But perhaps we'll repitch him to Jim Leland now. How about that?
There you go. There you go. I have Dave Roberts on Monday. Are you okay if I pitch him the magic at bat as opposed to Justin Turner's idea?
Yeah, here's what I think you should. If you're cool with it, I'd be interested in what he thinks of Justin Turner's idea, and then you pitch the magic at bat and pitch it as your own. Okay, like it's your idea. Pitch it as your own.
No, I'll say one of my close friends has this idea, and you know what? I will give you the credit. I will just say one of my close personal friends is got this fantastic idea. Now, Greg Bergman, producer extraordinaire of this show, he is. I call him Corporate Greg because he's management now. He's the assistant program director. You've worked with him before, Stugatz. Yes. I also believe he has alter egos because he's still a rabid, diehard sports fan. One of those alter egos is Dodger Boy, and Dodger Boy wants nothing to do with your magic at bat. He is basically the Rob Manfred of this show right now. Go ahead, Dodger Boy.
All right, so here's the thing, Stu, with the magic at bat. So you want to speed up the game, but you want to give Mike Trout an extra at bat to try and tie the game to go into extra innings.
Yeah, but no, if you have both rules in play, Greg, then what you have is Trout hitting a home run, and then you get Trout in a home run derby. I mean, the very next inning, if there is no more extra inning, it's Trout in a home run derby. I mean, that's what you have at 4-3.
So three straight innings of Mike Trout getting up to bat. But here's the thing. Like, you want the game to go slower, the faster, though. So you don't want to get into that extra innings with the home run derby because that's supposed to be a special thing. If you get there, then you're giving the home team a chance to tie the game with something that they shouldn't have had.
No, here's really what I'm trying to do. Two things. I'm trying to make the game more appealing and entertaining to young people, okay? Because when I take my kids to the game, the least entertaining thing at the game is the game, okay? And so I am trying to make the game more entertaining for young people, and I'm trying to get the old people home at an earlier time. I understand your larger point, but listen, who doesn't? I'd almost want games to go to a home run derby. Could you imagine? I think about that. All guys being healthy, it's Angels, Yankees, okay? We get to the ninth inning, it ends in a 5-5 tie, and then you have Stanton and Trout, five swings apiece, or Judge and Trout, five swings apiece, and whoever hits the most home runs wins the game, we all go home.
Well, and the other part of it is this, Stu. Baseball has a marketing problem with their stars. This would help market their stars.
Correct. Yes, of course. How could it not? And plus, you're giving your stars more opportunities. Let's be honest. Like, I don't want to see the eight-hitter or the nine-hitter. I want to see Mike Trout out every single inning, and that's never going to happen. It's not the case in baseball, but you're making your stars more marketable, George. You're right. You're making them bigger, and you're giving them more opportunities to get in front of the fans' eyes. And so that's the thought behind it.
See, you have to be a Dodger fan and have your eight or nine hitter be Corey Seager or Gavin Lux and somebody that can hit the ball out.
Yeah, but not every team has that luxury is his point. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
$100 million payrolls and have those luxuries, man.
Yeah, not everybody's the Dodgers and Yankees. That all eight, you know, their first eight hitters can all hit 20 bombs, right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Like, George, when I was growing up, big Mets fan, it was like Ray Ordonez was batting eighth, right? The guy batted like 211. I could have Darryl Strawberry. I mean, that's what I want to see.
Sensational outfield.
Yes, I want to see Strawberry, man.
Exactly. All right, Stu, before we let you go, we're having Ben Lyons on to do his top Eddie Murphy movies. Give me, just right off the top of your head, no order necessary, your top three Eddie Murphy movies.
48 Hours. God, I'm going to leave one out here. He was so good. Can I use Raw or Delirious?
Or both, if you want.
I'm going to say Trading Places, 48 Hours, and Raw. Like, to me, like him, Eddie Murphy doing stand-up in his prime. A, the most confident person I've ever seen doing anything in my entire life. And B, it still holds up. It might be the funniest thing I've ever seen. I think Raw and Delirious are just outstanding.
All right, buddy. I love you. Stay safe. Send my best to Abby and the kids and the boys, you know, whenever you Zoom with them before the show. Thanks for coming on. Make sure you subscribe to Stu Gatz's podcast, Stupidity. Subscribe to the Lebatard Show podcast, too. Listen to them when you're not listening to us, you know, late at night. When you're not listening to the station, you can listen to them. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Yep. Ross, and Sedona, real quick, Ross Stripling, who's a Dodger pitcher, by the way, you know him very well. He is our guest next week on Stupidity. Best to you, best to Kelly, best to the baby, your entire family, buddy. I love you. Stay safe. Everyone stay safe during this craziness.
All right, brother. Thank you. There it is, Ross Stripling on Stupidity next week. So subscribe to Stupidity when you get the chance, and make sure you check out Chicken Strip. So there you have it. All right, our movie segment with Ben Lyons is next. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Thanks to Stu Gatz for joining us there to talk to us about Justin Turner's home run derby idea, which he may have stole from Stu Gatz. And then Stu Gatz also pitched us on the magic at bat, which Bergman was not a fan of, the magic at bat. But I think he's right. And I think the magic at bat, if you didn't hear it, basically here's the example. Mike, let's say Cody Bellinger bats in the bottom of the eighth inning.
But in the ninth inning, they're still down. And the Dodgers designate a magic at bat person. And that person is also Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger gets to bat again in the ninth if they're down. Like, the manager can go to that person, almost like a relief pitcher, right? And say, I want my magic at bat guy right now. And Cody Bellinger can tie the game or win the game right there. And if they tie, then they go into the home run derby. And Cody Bellinger or whoever else on the roster who's designated as the home run derby guy, as Justin Turner wants, right? He wants a home run derby in the 10th inning, Justin Turner. He can be that guy. And I just think it helps market the stars in the league more. I know you hate it, Bergman, but I love it. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, look, it has its ups and its downs to it, but I just think that it's going to make the game go longer. I'll give you this, though. With hockey, going to shootout is like the most exciting thing about
hockey. It's fun. Yeah.
I love hockey. So
it's fun.
This could be more exciting if you go to a home run derby.
Is Ben Lyons there already? Hey, Ben.
Here, sorry. I was throwing up in the toilet listening to you explain your rationale for defending the magic at bat guy designation. What are you talking about?
It's Thank absurd. You.
All right. So did you see the Justin Turner thing?
Yeah, he wants to turn extra innings into Monday night of Major League Baseball All-Star Week.
Yeah, so I'm good with that. I'm also good with Stugatz's. Yes, so I'm also good with Stugatz's idea of the magic at bat, is that you designate a guy that can bat whenever you need him to in the ninth inning, and you can go to that guy, and it's always going to be your star. Baseball's a problem marketing stars.
No. First of all, George, thanks for having me on the show. Second of all, any time in life, your sentence of defense is, I agree with Stugatz's idea. You know you're already in trouble. I think the beauty of baseball is that we celebrate role players in basketball or in football, is that we've had, you know, utility guys come up with big hits and big moments, and it's a team game. If anything, you want to shorten extra innings. You put a runner on second base to start the 10th inning or the 11th inning, and then it brings in strategy that has been lost in an era of home runs and Justin Turner home run derbies and strikeouts. If you have a runner on second base starting the 10th inning, maybe you bunt him, you sack fly, you hit the opposite field, all the things that baseball purists think have abandoned the game now become relevant again in the 10th inning with a runner on second. But to turn it into a video game, and Stugatz wants to just have Cody Bellinger hit six times in a row because he doesn't want to watch a role player, stop. Please.
Yeah, I completely disagree. I think baseball has a marketing problem. Baseball has a young people problem. That helps both of those things. And the home run derby is just, look, I take the second base thing as an alternative, but I'm with Turner. Give me the home run derby. I'm okay with that all day, every day. All right, couple of other things.
All right.
Go.
Until it comes back, actually. But yeah, what do you want to get to? Eddie Murphy?
No. What did you have? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I just, you know, again, all the things that we complain about with baseball throughout the regular season. First of all, we're seeing more home runs than ever, and now you're saying your problem is to fix baseball to have more home runs. But it's everything we celebrate in the postseason. The games take a long time. They games have intricate player movement and substitutions, and every runner and at-bat counts. These are all the things we celebrate in October. But here we are now, and, you know, debating baseball and how to fix it, and it's more home runs. I don't think that's the answer.
Yeah, I disagree. It's kind of like running a play for your star player at the end of a game. You know what I mean? Like of a basketball game. Like, to me, it's no different. But anyway, all right. Speaking of basketball, we'll get to that in a second, because Mason and Ireland and I picked these all-time Laker teams, and I'm curious to see who you think had the better team. We all got wiped by Mason in the simulation, but I have questions about the simulation too. I'm not formally filing a protest, but I feel like I should file a protest. But we'll get to that in a second. It is our Movie Friday segment with you. Obviously, people are at home. And I wanted to ask you your top five. This is what we do every week, a top five. Your top five Eddie Murphy movies, because today, happy birthday, Eddie Murphy, 59 today.
Well, as always, Stugatz went off the board and he threw Stand Up into the mix. But I'm going to keep to the original parameters and stick to films. I'm going to go with a film directed by Ted Demme at number five. It's called Life, and it's with Eddie Murphy opposite Martin Lawrence, and really the only time we got to see Eddie in a true ensemble in a comedic piece alongside, you know, everyone from Anthony Anderson and Guy Tori and the late Bernie Mac and Bokeem Woodbine and a lot of people in that very heartfelt movie. So I'm going to go Life. Bofinger was very close, but Lice is number five. Number four is Nutty Professor, which is the ultimate balance of a family film for Eddie Murphy while also keeping that high bar of comedic, excellence that that defined the early half of his career. And number three, let's lump all the Beverly Hills Cops together. Axel Foley, number three, obviously the best of the action comedies that he did over the years, like 48 Hours or Metro or things in that ilk. Number two, I watched it during this quarantine. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, Trading Places. G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu Grip, the Mortimer Betts, obviously Dan Aykroyd on the bus as Santa Claus with the salmon, but Eddie Murphy as Billy Ray Valentine with some social commentary. He's tremendous in it. And the number one, of course, Undefeated, Coming to America, complete game changer. They're doing a sequel, which I'm nervous about because of the Dumb and Dumber sequel and how that went. I almost want them to just leave it alone, but that's my top five. I didn't include 1,000 Words or Meet Dave or Norbit or Pluto Nash or all the stinkers he made over the years. But that's my Eddie Murphy top five.
Which was the worst one of all of those?
Well, I remember going to the screening of Pluto Nash with my dad, and it was one of those along the lines of like Howard the Duck and just all-timers, right? But Louis Guzman.
I like Howard the Duck. As a kid, I did at least.
But Louis Guzman shows up, and I believe he's playing the first Puerto Rican astronaut, and it just saved the 10 minutes of the movie for my dad and I, and we always laugh anytime Pluto Nash comes up because of Louis Guzman. But yeah, Eddie Murphy kind of, yes, he had a good run between 2000 and 2010. Shrek, obviously, a huge hit and inspired, it brought joy to so many people. But the 2010 to 2020s, from Tower Heist with Brett Ratner all the way through, 1,000 Words. And despite an Oscar nomination for Dreamgirl, but that was a decade before, it's been a tough 10, 15 years or so. But let's just talk about the best Eddie Murphy, which is Saturday Night Live. And he got to host it this past December and reprise characters like Buckwheat and Mr. Robinson. And anybody wants to go back and watch the old, old Eddie Murphy, he's like 19, 20 years old. It still holds up today. He's one of the great SNL performers of all time.
Agreed with that for sure. So if I'm not using the stand-ups as one of the movies, if it's just the films, now mine is a little different. I like Trading Places is great. The Mortimers, it's fantastic. All of that stuff is fantastic. Didn't crack my personal top five. Number five on my personal top five is Boomerang. You got to coordinate, Ben Lyons. You got to coordinate, okay? Number four would be Harlem Nights. I mean, just the fact that him and Richard Pryor on the screen together is fantastic. And of course, you shot my damn pinky toe, okay, Ben Lyons? You shot my damn pinky toe. You're going to get it now. Number three is 48 Hours. I actually think another 48 Hours is really damn good, too, to be honest with you. It doesn't get a lot of love for sequels, but I actually think another 48 Hours is maybe not as good, but it's not a huge drop off from one to the other. Also, Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2, I could do without Wonder World and 3 or Wally World or whatever it was called that they were investigating. But 1 and 2 were fan-freaking-tastic. First of all, Brigitte Nielsen in number 2 as a villain was just incredible, I thought. So Beverly Hills Cop number 2. And then number 1 is Coming to America. Come on. I mean, Coming to America, yeah. The barbershop scene, the characters that he played, all the different aspects of that movie to me make it the best comedy he ever did.
So the casting is tremendous. The set pieces, the costumes, just in the face. It's just so good. There's so many great lines. And again, a little nervous for what they're going to do with the sequel. A little nervous.
Yeah.
But happy to see him back in the zeitgeist, man. You know, he had the Dolomite movie for Netflix. That was got some Golden Globe attention this year. And again, hosting Saturday Night Live. Crazy career, like 40 years doing this. Had a chance to interview him my first Golden Globes for Dreamgirls. Just one of the all-time great. Like one of the last, like when I think of like show business. You know what I mean? Like Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like he's one of those guys.
So I watched the Comedians in Cars with him, with Seinfeld, and it felt like the first, it was 40 minutes long, which is very long for Comedians in Cars. But the first 20 minutes, it almost felt like he was a little apprehensive to do it. But the last 20 were fantastic. Him and Seinfeld just kind of laughing, having fun. It almost felt like he needed to get comfortable with Jerry for a few minutes.
I feel like Eddie Murphy's kind of going to be like all of us are going to be when this quarantine is over, when we go back outside. Like anytime he's in a social situation, he's kind of a little uncomfortable, but then he starts to relax. That's going to hopefully be us very soon, getting back to games, getting back to concerts. It's going to be a little weird, but then we'll get comfortable and enjoy the rest of the 20 minutes. So.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So did you see the three teams Mason and Ireland and I drafted, all-time Laker teams?
Well, I saw you did something really smart. You went Kobe first because regardless if he's the greatest Laker in real basketball, he's definitely the greatest Laker in video game basketball. As dominant as Shaq is, sometimes it's tough to do moves with him if he gets the ball too far away from the basket. Kobe has a better three than Magic. He's a better defender, I think, than Magic in video games. So, yeah, you went Kobe first, which I think gave you a huge advantage.
Well, here's the thing. I won the popular vote. 60% of the audience, over about 5,000 votes, voted for me. And then we played the simulation. And in this simulation, Kobe was terrible, by the way, in both games that I played, which was crazy to me, like how bad he was. He missed every shot, even easy ones, it felt like. And I had Kareem, and my computer coach benched him for quarters at a time, and would bench AD to play like my guy Byron Scott at power forward against like Wilt and Shaq on Mason's team. Like it was, the computer was just, it was shenanigans. It was all, it felt like I was being toyed with. My emotions were toyed with this computer simulation, which was nothing like what I expected it or anyone else expected it to be like. And I got drilled by both Ireland and Mason swept it. He won the whole thing, which was crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. First of all, winning the popular vote means absolutely nothing, as we've learned. Also, Mason, if anyone is to be accused of maybe tampering with the lineups or the rotations or the computer simulation, it's obviously Steve Mason, simply just from the fact that he like lived on the West Side. And I feel like the West Side lifestyle makes him more comfortable late night playing video games than Ireland and his gated community and you and your live, your palace of that you come back to after traveling around the country for NBA games. Like, I think Mason probably has put in more video game hours than the two of you guys combined. So there's definitely some smoke here, and there could be some fire into these rosters. Why don't we play this? Like, I just set up my Xbox during this thing. Why doesn't everybody just play 2K live?
Oh, I feel like I would crush them if that were the case, though. Like, that might not be fair either, though.
I mean, that's opening up a whole other can of worms. But I think we're onto something there, Bergman. If we got the Zoom working last week, we can get the live 2K tournament going for ESPN LA.
I mean, I don't think those guys play video games, though, which is the problem. Like, that's why I would crush them. I don't play that often either, but I've played that game plenty.
Yeah, I feel like we could get enough competition. We can get enough run going. Look, this is what it comes to now, George. We're watching Kevin Durant play Trae Young tonight, or we're watching,
we are NBA on ESPN2 tonight. Yes, on ESPN2, we're watching.
ESPN. No, I think it's like ESPN.
Well, no, not all of them. Some of them are on ESPN. Some of them are on ESPN2. The late night ones are on ESPN2. Like Pat Bev is going to be playing Hassan Whiteside at 10:30 on ESPN2. They're switching over to ESPN2 for some of them because SportsCenter will be on with Scott Van Pelt.
Oh, so it's a multi-platform broadcast of NBA players now playing video games, which I'm going to be dialed into tonight. And I think Durant is going to win, to be honest. He's got more video game experience. The guy who came up playing Dreamcast, playing Nintendo, playing a lot of the games the other guys aren't familiar with. Now he's first of all, the biggest star in it, too. For him to put himself out there and his star power out there, the guy's out, and he's been hurt. He's been playing 2K, he's been playing video games for a long time on the couch. Well, Trae Young's been busy trying to guard John Morant. So I'm going with Kevin Durant.
So we had to make picks on ESPN.com, and I picked Devin Booker, who is also a big gamer, and did like some cool stuff raising money for the pandemic while on Twitch a week or two ago. So I picked Devin Booker as my winner. So we'll see how it goes.
All right,
brother. Well, you stay.
This is what I'm up to. Be safe, my man. Lay low. Thanks for having me on the show. Thanks for doing the show. It's been fun just being able to listen to you and get a little escape every day from everything going on. So we appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. You stay safe. You know. By the way, is Irwin still letting you shop? Are they open? Are they an essential business?
Oh, we'll do this next week. I had a whole list of different milks and how much they cost. Did you know that you can get pea milk and it's cheaper than pecan milk?
I did not know that. I didn't know peas could be milked, but okay, there you go. We can discuss that next week. Yeah. So next and next week's movie review, since we're doing the 710 senior shout out, we're going to have you do high school movies next week, because that's our week where we're going to do the senior shout outs. So you're going to do high school movies next week and then your Irwin experience. Sounds good.
Aloha, Mr. Hand. I'll talk to you then. Peace.
All right. See you later. Ben Lyons with us here. Weekly movie review, 11:30 on Fridays here on The Sedano Show. All right. Coming up next, Rex Ryan puts his foot in his mouth big time. He had just stepped in it today. He said the thing that created a huge storm. We'll tell you what that is in just a moment. Stick around. Sedano back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Thanks to Ben Lyons for joining us there. Thanks to Stu Gotts. What happened to Mel Kiper, Bergman?
You know, he did not call as he was supposed to. Mel Kiper, you know what? It's funny because on Mason and Ireland show, they were supposed to have Todd McShay this week, and he didn't show up.
So are we? Is there a West Coast bias? Is that what's happening?
I think there's a West Coast bias against ESPN, a 710 ESPN. That's what we're going to go with from now on.
It feels like that. I got to be honest with you. I know the guy who books. I'm gonna have to make a call.
Uh-oh, here we go. As yeah. You should, because this is not, because I sent him an email and he said, hey, I'm checking, and but nope, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
By the way, do you want to tell the audience what you asked me during the break?
Why you gotta put me on the spot like that? Yeah, I just was sitting there, we were, you know, sitting around and waiting for the segment to start, and I said, so you got any plans this weekend?
And I'm like, what do you think I'm doing?
You mean like everybody else? You're just going to sit on your couch or take a walk, or that's about it?
Yeah, exactly. And watch TV like everybody else. If you missed any part of the show today, any of our interviews, make sure you go to the entire interview on demand section of the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app or wherever you find your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Brought to you by a Capital One Quicksilver card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? So Rex Ryan said the thing today on Get Up that everyone was all up in arms about. And I don't blame them. I was when he said it, I was like, ooh, really? Here's what Rex Ryan said earlier today.
Well, I agree with Dan on the fact that I wouldn't have paid this guy. To me, this is the biggest disappearing act in the National Football League. He doesn't show up on the road.
All right, stop it for 1 second. Stop it for one second. I should have prefaced this. I didn't remember. He didn't mention him by name. He's talking about Amari Cooper and the Dallas Cowboys signing him to a 5-year, $100 million deal. Go ahead, Laura. Sorry.
Well, I agree with Dan on the fact that I wouldn't have paid this guy. To me, this is the biggest disappearing act in the National Football League. He doesn't show up on the road. He doesn't show up against when the competition's good, when he's against the top corners, that guy disappears. And to me, he reminds me, it's only one time that I can remember in recent memory on elite receivers and disappearing acts like Amari Cooper. That was the kid that the Raiders had a few years ago. Oh, that's right. That was Amari Cooper. This is who he is. And Dan, he doesn't love football. Hell with it. He stops his routes. He does all this. I wouldn't have paid this turd. No way in hell.
All right.
No way in hell would I have paid this guy. To me, you pay Dak Prescott. Forget all those numbers. That, you know, they're number one in the league because of Dak Prescott, not because of this guy. It's a deep draft at receiver. They made a huge mistake right here.
So here's what I would say to that. First of all, you don't call another grown man a turd, okay? Especially when you're a coach who's been fined 3 different times, $50,000, $75,000, and $100,000 for incidents with fans, including giving them the finger, which, you know, the Jets didn't love all that much. And I remember because it happened at I believe it was a UFC event in South Florida many, many years ago. And I like Rex, okay? I like him. I think he's good on television, but you made a big, big mistake there. Like, you don't say that. Especially because anyone that has ever dealt with Amari Cooper talks about how professional he is, what a stand-up guy he is, what a nice guy he is, and how no matter if he has a good game or a bad game, he's always there talking to the media. He doesn't shy away from the media. Like, that's a personal attack. Like, if you think he doesn't show up in big games, cool. You know, there are plenty of people that will back you up on some of that stuff. But just the making it personal, I didn't like. And of course, Rex has since apologized. He went on SportsCenter a little while ago and apologized for using the word turd. He got a little carried away. But yeah, I just think you don't make it personal, dude. Like, you just don't. Like, I criticize people every day on this show. But I never try. I don't make it personal. I do everything in my power to not make it personal. And that's just the move. Like, I know that people are going to be like, oh, it's just people are soft. No, man, you don't call another grown man out of his name. You don't call him out of his name. Like, it's just that simple. But I'm glad he did apologize because he understood. Because I'm sure nobody would like he wouldn't like if anyone called him that. Like, you know, that's just not cool. Like, I've said plenty of things about Rex Ryan and his coaching ability over the years. As much as I like him as a personality, I think he's great for the game. But I'd never, like, you know, made fun of him in that way. You know what I mean? Like, I just think it was silly. But anyway, that was kind of the big national uproar today. So anyway, we're done. Thanks to Laura and Greg. Thanks to you guys for tuning in and calling in. Thanks to Ben Lyons and Stu Gatz. We love you. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We will talk to you on Monday. Don't forget Dave Roberts, Dodgers skipper, will join us on Monday. Have a great weekend.